Turn to Romans chapter 8. I was not scheduled to preach, but Howard had a cancellation at the last minute somewhat, so I told him if we get in a bind, I'll do the best I can. Learned a long time ago, you always carry one in your hip pocket, you know. Instant in season and out of season. I'm looking at a word tonight that has one meaning in our language, but a so much deeper meaning in biblical language. You know, I've heard it said overseas when I've traveled, people talk about how hard it is to understand and learn the English language. And you don't think about it until I ran across a writing the other day. A gentleman said, but why is the English language so looked upon as being such a hard and difficult language? I'll give you what I believe about it and hopefully it'll be helpful. We'll start with the goose. One fowl is a goose and two are geese, but the plural of mouse is never meese. You may find a lone mouse or a nest of mice, but the plural of house is houses, not heis. There is the box, the plural of which is boxes, but the plural of ox is oxen, not oxes. If the plural of man is men, why shouldn't the plural of pan be pen? If I speak of a foot and you show me 2 feet, or give me a boot, would a pair be a beat? If one is a tooth and a whole set of teeth, why shouldn't the plural of boof be beef? Then, of course, we have the masculine pronouns, which are he, his, and him. But imagine the feminine as she, shiz, and shim. I think that says a lot, doesn't it? Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Adoption has changed a lot. And I look at that word adoption. It's changed a lot in our modern society as to what it was in biblical times. Adoption was a whole different concept to the Romans. They made a big deal out of adoption. You know, today, adoptive parents, any that's been through the process of adoption, they can tell you that, first of all, it's almost a legal nightmare just to adopt a child, and then in those initial days and months that follow, there's always the fear that someone could come back or something not be signed properly or done properly, and there'd be intervention until they could run the risk of those initial months of losing that child. And then there's always that risk later on of when the child reaches a certain age that they get curious, and under the privacy laws that exist, they want to delve into their past, and they perhaps are not allowed to do that, but yet there's this overwhelming desire to do that. And adoption is an entirely different process from what it was when Paul wrote to the Roman church. In fact, the Romans looked at it in a different light, and that's who he was writing this letter to, was to the church at Rome, the Romans that were there, the converted people of Rome that were living there. He said, our salvation experience is like the Roman adoption experience, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And he mentions there is no spirit of fear. We're not bound by that. What was he talking about? Well, he was saying the adoption process was a sealed, secure process to the Romans, and several things happened when someone was adopted. First of all, see, they would adopt at all ages. If a family had one young man to carry on their family name, and that young man was getting along into his teens or even into his 20s, and he died suddenly and the family name would die, they oftentimes would adopt in the teens and early 20s, they would adopt a son to carry on the family name. But through the adoption process, there were several things that occurred. Number one was when you were adopted, the day you were adopted, you had no past. Your past was gone forever. They forbid you by law to ever look back again at your past. It was as though on that day, regardless of how old you were, when you were adopted, on that day, it was a day of brand new beginnings in your life, and you could never go back in your past again. Now, I realize as Christians that sometimes our past is there as a reminder to try to serve us to live a good purpose. It serves us to live a more holy life. But I think if you're not careful, you can get so involved in what you used to be that you forget who you are. And as far as God is concerned, the day that we are saved, adopted into the family of God, my past is washed away. And no matter how hard I try to deal with my past and go back to it, as far as God's concerned, I have no past. It's gone. The question is, if you've been adopted. Now, I don't know your heart. A lot of people like the idea, Brother Howard, of their past being gone, but they don't want the adoption process. I am confident of this as I live longer and the closer I watch the church, not our church, but the church in general, the closer we get to the coming of the Lord. I am confident of this one thing. I personally believe there are a greater number than what we realize in all fundamental churches in America that have never really, truly had a born-again experience. Because if they really had what I have, and their past is gone and they're covered by the blood, they wouldn't act the way they act and do the things they do, say the things they say. And the truth of the matter is, usually, if you watch people with great spiritual problems, it's because they've had an emotional experience, but they never had a day in their life where a judge ruled, you no longer have a past. This is the day of new beginnings. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, saved by the grace of God, adopted into the family of God. So why do I fear? I don't have a past for the devil to accuse me of. No past. Something else. Sometimes the child was available for adoption because the parents died. Sometimes they were older. And their family had accumulated debt. And by law, the debt passed on to the heirs. But if someone, if you were fortunate enough for someone to adopt you, it not only meant that you had no past, it meant you had no debt. Debt was gone. Oh, glory. Aren't you glad God delivered us from the debt of sin? The debt that you and I owed, a debt that we could not pay. Jesus paid our debt on Calvary's cross. And we're no longer debtor to our sins. But He released us. Now, the debt that we owe has nothing to do with the fact that we're not saved. We're a debtor to Him because we love Him and we serve Him. And our debt is not the debt of sin. It's the debt of love to a Savior that loved us enough to say, listen, I'm going to adopt you into my family so you no longer have a past and you no longer have the debt load that you used to owe. It's now gone. It also meant you got a new name, a new family, a new place to live. Everything was changed when the judge ruled you're adopted. Whole new environment. You remember when you got saved? I mean, if you really got saved, you remember it. Didn't it look like you were living in a brand new world? Didn't everything look different? And isn't it funny how you changed your views about the church and about Christians when you got adopted in the family of God and you realized I'm part of the most wonderful family in all the world, God's precious family. I have a new name. My name's been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. My sin is gone forever. I'm part of God's family. I'm now called a Christian, God's child. I've got a new name recorded. God has saved me and given me the hope of the future. Another thing that meant, now all that your father has is yours. You know what's strange? Only in the adoption process to the Romans was the will eliminated. There wasn't a will to an adopted child. You know why? Everything the Father had, you had, whether the Father was alive or not. Everything He had is yours. Everything that He'll ever have is yours. You don't have to wait to inherit it. It was yours the day you were adopted. That meant that the Father had to know what He was doing when He adopted you into the family. Because there was no changing His mind. Thank God, I'm glad God didn't change His mind. Didn't make another way and another plan. But God said, I love you enough. I'm going to give my Son. He'll give His life that you can be adopted into the family of God. And all that God has is mine. I'm a property owner, you know. It's one of those turnkey deals. All I have to do is just accept it. It's already mine. Been bought and paid for. Adopted in the family of God. It all took place through that bridal process. They say that when a young man was going to marry a Jewish girl in Christ's time, he'd find the bride. And first thing he'd do is take his father to the father of the bride and say, I want to make a contract. I want to marry your daughter. And in that contract, he would offer a price, a dowry, an endowment. And they said the more that he paid in the contract, the more he loved the bride. I got to read this contract, and I found out he sure must love us. He paid a lot for us. They would sign off on that contract, and then they would make sure that the bride was in agreement, because he didn't want to marry a bride that didn't want him. So the father would approach his daughter and say, here's the contract. I've signed off on it. The contract is good and the payment's been made. Do you accept it? And she'd say yes. And how she'd say yes, she'd take a cup of wine. They'd interlock arms and they'd drink the wine together, share the cup together. After that they'd share the cup, he'd start out the door and turn around and look at his bride-to-be and say, I go to prepare a place for you. I don't know when I'll be back, but I'm coming back. Boy, I feel preaching coming on. They called that place a little mansion. And he'd go and start building that little mansion, putting it together. But the strangest thing, the son couldn't determine when the mansion was finished. Only the father could determine it. The reason why his father determined it was they were bound by a contract. And he wanted to make sure that everything was in place. And just at the right time, when everything was in place and everything was ready, the father would say to the son, go get your bride. I can see folks coming, looking at that fellow saying, what are you building there? I'm building a mansion for my bride. Well, blessed be God. Well, when's it going to be done? I don't know. I don't set the hour. You'll have to go ask my father. He's the only one that knows. But when it's time, he'll tell me it's time to go get the bride. I don't know the day nor the hour, but surely after 2,000 years, it must be near completion. And just in a day, I think the wedding trumpet will sound, and God will say, son, go get your bride. It's wedding day. We'll inherit the piece of property that He's going to build us a little mansion on the other side. It means something to be adopted. Today, so many folks would have you to believe an adopted child maybe is inferior in some ways, but that's not how it was in the Roman days. The adopted child was a special child. You know how wonderful it is to serve a God like we serve? He has millions upon millions upon millions in His family. But yet, He loves you like you're the only child He's got. You're special to God. God cares about you. concerned about you. So the next time somebody comes along and says, you're a Christian, why, you're a nobody. You look at them and say, you don't understand. I don't have the spirit of bondage again to fear. I have the spirit of adoption whereby I cry, Abba, Father. I've been adopted into the family of God. And just in a day, the Lord will call and will answer and will go home and inherit what He's going to build for us. Are you part of His family? You're adopted into His family? If you're not, it sure would be a good time to come and say, Lord, I want to be a part of the family of God. Well, I guess I had a lot more than I thought I had. Good to be adopted, though, isn't it? This world birthed us, but it couldn't save us. When we come to the Lord, we step out of nothing and step in the middle of everything. Because you're a child of God. You're not a nobody struggling through life as a pilgrim with nothing to hold on to. All that God has is yours. Not going to be it is right now. Thank God you're adopted. Don't have to wait for the will to take place. Somebody doesn't have to die. He already died back yonder on Calvary's tree. All that He's got is mine right now. Because we're adopted into His family. What do you need from Him? Maybe do you good to tell your daddy what you need. He'd help you. Everything He's got, yours. You have not because you ask not. What do you need? Brother Howard comes, we'll stand, we'll sing together. You don't even want me to get started on the next part. Adopted into the family of God. No past, no debt. Let's stand together. Got a new name. All that the Father has is yours. A lot to be thankful for, isn't it? Sometimes you ought to find a place, whether it's a church and an invitation, whether it's all alone at home. You ought to just maybe find a place somewhere to steal away and talk to God and say, Lord, remind me who I am. I don't care to tell you, folks, I've had a rough 3 or 4 days. Nothing to do with the church or anything like that. Spent 3 or 4 nights up, concerned about people. Couldn't sleep. Up and down. I wrestling with myself. You ever do that? It's the wrong thing to do. I was trying to figure out how I could fix it. Trying to figure out what I could do. And all I did was made a mess out of myself, Howard. Walked around Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday just making a mess out of it. Some of you folks will worry a preacher to death. You know that? Half in and half out. You're like a car stalled on the train tracks, and it's not going to be long till you're going to get hit. You're going to get hit. About 4 o'clock this morning, Candy said, why don't you come to bed? I said, I can't. Toss and turn. I don't know, maybe I take this thing too serious. I don't want to be one of these preachers just preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and go home and forget about people that I minister to. Then this morning, driving down the highway, God said, son, pull over. I know His voice. When He talks like that, I listen to Him. And God reminded me who I am. Can't wait to go to bed tonight. Because all He has is mine. All of His power is our power. All of His strength is our strength. All we do in ourselves is make a mess of it and a mess of ourselves. He said, if I adopted you and changed your life and took your past away and forgave your debt and gave you a new name and given you everything that's mine, What do you think I can do with these things? So I made my mind up tonight before I go to bed. I'm going to say, it's all yours, Lord. You stay up, take care of it. I'm going to sleep. Oh, hallelujah. All it has is ours. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that. Sometimes we need God to remind us in a subtle way who our Father really is. We don't serve the God of this world. We serve the true and living God. What is it keeping you awake nights? Maybe you need to do like your preacher and just come and say, God, remind me who I am. And they went for a bride for Isaac. Oh, Eliezer, the helper. Picture of the Holy Spirit. Opened up a jewel case. Said, look here. This is just a little taste of what my master has. There's a lot more in this where I come from. He'll give us some heaven to go to heaven in. If you need to pray about anything, be a good time to come. We'll sing the song. And as we sing the first verse,